If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Back once again, Things Not Seen radio program, back on the air. Thank you for joining me. I'm Christopher Manti, your host, every Friday night, 9 to 11 Eastern, on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. Visit us at conservativenationradio.org, facebook.com/conservativenationradio, and facebook.com/thingsnotseenshow is my page. Twitter at CNR Show, hashtag there, CNR Show, and Things Not Seen. Remember also traditionalamericanmovement.com, trinitymediaonline.com, Trinity Media, all this good stuff. Please call me, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Here for 2 hours with you. I sincerely appreciate you joining me. Got a tremendous, phenomenal show tonight. Hope it entertains, enlightens, and informs, and humors, and everything else is you. And just a little teaser, I've got fascism alert coming up tonight. That should be interesting. A lot of, unfortunately, bad stuff happening in our state legislatures and in our cities. And we'll get to the bottom of all that. And some internet sales tax rumors cranking up again. Thought that was dead. It's not. Culture war, full swing in the schools, high schools. Grade schools. It's everywhere, so I wanted to make you aware of it if you weren't. And my part I'm most looking forward to bringing you tonight, special expose, I'm calling it Bible study time, called The Satanic Doctrine of Christian Pacifism. Nice and politically incorrect, I figure, a little controversial, perhaps. Who knows? Please stick around for that. That'll be in the 10 o'clock hour. But I just have to, unfortunately, first of all, good evening to everybody. Hope you're having a good one. Hope your week was acceptable. You're able to tolerate it okay and pull up a chair, turn on the fire, get a drink, and listen to me. And by the way, if you're listening to me after the fact, I love you also. Thank you for that. Please podcast us. Just go to conservativenationradio.org. Listen live, and you can get a live show like right now or one of our previous broadcasts. Just look on the calendar, okay? It's easy. Please do that. So this week we had another inane, boring State of the Union address. Who cares? I mean, honestly, they're, for as long as I can remember now, years and years, they're just not worth – they're all historic, you know, technically speaking, but there's no redeeming value at all. Whoever's the party in power will applaud 1,000 times. The other one will sit down and it turns into a rally, not about leadership. So it stinks, but you have to go through it. I wanted to just give you the what I call the low lights of the program by our president. And then in the next segment, after our first break, we're going to play, because you might not have heard it, I think it's critically important. Everyone heard that, if you chose to, the State of the Union address by the president and the reply by Marco Rubio. Makes you thirsty watching that guy, right? But not everyone, because they didn't broadcast it on TV, saw the Rand Paul's response. He did it through the Tea Party Express. Whatever. The point is, he had the most important things to say. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased, but because it's true. So please stick around for that. I'm going to play the entire response by Senator Paul, since everyone has heard the other two, and you probably have not heard his in its entirety. Okay? So that's after the break. But before we get there, again, what exactly happened in the State of the Union that we want to point out? As always, with Mr. Obama, since his Senate days, 2006, and before that, even before he was elected to the Senate, he's a duplicitous person. He says one thing, and then he says the opposite thing. And then he'll tell you, but I said that all along. Some would call that a liar. Call it what you will. The point is, he's extremely astute at playing both sides of every single issue. He's a leftist, of course, at heart. And when it's to his advantage to be one, he will be one. When it's to his disadvantage, he will be a centrist who just wants to bring everyone together, talk it out. Right. All right. Anyway, so he gave a speech, State of the Union. There's a couple of whoppers. Corporate profits have rocketed to all-time highs, says the president, but for more than a decade, wages and incomes have barely budged. Well, some corporate profits have, and some have not. Some have gone down, and a lot of corporations have gone out of business. And the middle, you know, your so-called middle class, which I really don't like saying, your average Joe, his income went down since you've been president. It's not good. He also said in 2011, Congress passed a law saying if both parties couldn't agree on a plan to reach our deficit goal, about $1 trillion worth of budget cuts would automatically go into effect this year. Yep. And you signed it. And it was put in there to scare everyone from not getting to this point. But the fact is, everyone agreed to it, so don't act like somebody forced it on you. The last few years, both parties have worked together to reduce the deficit by more than $2.5 trillion. This is just bogus. A trillion of it has, quote unquote, has yet to materialize, meaning it hasn't happened. Also includes $500 billion in projected reduced interest. Okay, this is just typical spin meistering going on. Nobody's cut anything. Deficit is not being reduced. He also said the Affordable Care Act is helping to slow the growth of health care costs. People are paying more now than before the bill became law. I don't know what cost is going down. It costs me the same or more to go to the doctors or to the hospital or to get medicine. So I don't know what the hell he's referring to. Made that one up, folks. Here's another one. Let me repeat. I'm sorry for I can't help but imitate. It's just the way it is. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime. Now, yeah, I must be fair about this because people are the Republicans and all made an ad about this saying it's, you know, 40 trillion dimes or whatever. That's not talking about – they're talking about the debt. Okay, the debt and the deficit are different. The debt is an unfathomably huge number, and it's been rocketing upward for 100 years, especially since World War II. So – there's really nobody can really be happy about that. The deficit is different. The deficit is the difference between what we spend and what we take in. The debt is how much we owe to other people. Anyways, point is they're both bad, okay? And yes, all these increased new programs like sending everyone to preschool on government money would certainly increase the deficit. Okay, it's common sense. We have done We have doubled the distance our cars will go on a gallon of gas. Get out of here. I'm not even reading this. This is so stupid. This is a lie that he said at the inauguration, and he repeated. It's a complete lie. Heat waves, droughts, wildfires, and floods are now all more frequent and intense. Lie. Not true. Do not believe this. It's scientifically false. And again, this is, we can choose to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science and act before it's too late. This is more crap about global warming and the fact that we have to spend trillions of dollars and lose freedoms to do it. I don't think so. Taxpayers cannot continue to subsidize the soaring costs of higher education. Oh, okay, great. That means no more assistance from the government for any schools, right? Didn't think so. What else? There's some stuff about immigration in here. Tonight, let's declare the wealthiest nation on earth. No one who works full time should have to live in poverty and raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour. Good God Almighty. What is this? This is fourth grade. Wealthiest nation on earth. So no one who works full time live in poverty. The poverty line. Whatever you want, however you want to define it, changes constantly. It goes up all the time. So the minimum wage, quote unquote, would have to go up to keep up with it. I mean, this is just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And this is talking as a person who for many years worked minimum wage or slightly above it. Okay, I thought $10 an hour was rolling in the dough. I can't get to all this. Today, the organization, Al-Qaeda, that attacked us on 9/11 is a shadow of its former self. Benghazi? The point is, and this is the line that they want to put out there, is that Al-Qaeda was killed with Osama bin Laden, and that's the end of that. People like, not to pat my own back, pat myself on the back, but me, have known for 15 years now that the international, terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda happened to be one of them, the most powerful one, but they're just one. You kill one and there's two other ones to take its place. It's not a big deal. It's you haven't stopped anything. It's an ideology that we're talking about here. It's like communism, saying if you were to defeat the Soviet Union, that communism was all of a sudden didn't exist, right? I mean, it's a dumb statement. Anyway, so again, this is part of the thing. And to wrap up, this is why tonight I'm announcing a nonpartisan commission to improve the voting experience in America. This is scary. I'm sorry. This is what are they talking about? What are they doing? A commission like the other, like the debt commission, like things that you won't listen to, or is this stuff to intimidate people to have less conservatives show up? I mean, honestly, that's about all I could imagine that this is about. So, I mean, it was just a terrible experience on TV. I didn't even watch most of it. And this, just leave you with this because we're going to pick this up in the next segment. Police chiefs are asking our help to get weapons of war and massive ammunition magazines off our streets because they are tired of being outgunned. This is so dumb. This is so dumb. These weapons of war, quote unquote, are already banned. Massive ammunition magazines, this is the problem? No, it's not. It's not. Sorry. This is just trying to grab the guns of the law-abiding citizens. So watch out. All right, guys. Enough of that. You get the point. And we're going to listen to Rand Paul's answer to all that right after this little break. Now, conservatives like us, we like things to be predictable, dependable, reliable. Like the true anchors that they are, Mr. Michael Smith and Bing Fisher still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. And it would not be conservativenationradio.org without them, without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, now would it? So don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, our flagship, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And let me tell you about LifeLock here. Conservativenationradio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. Now, to protect your identity with LifeLock, just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org, click on the LifeLock banner. LifeLock. It's worth it. We'll be back right after this.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew.
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh?
What?
Hold on.
What'd you say?
Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, here I am, back with you, 17 minutes after the hour. Things Not Seen. Call me up, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I'll be with you till 11 p.m. Eastern. Things Not Seen radio program, conservativenationradio.org, Twitter at CNR Show, hashtag Things Not Seen, okay? So let's get right into this Rand Paul State of the Union response. I'm going to play the full thing. You probably have not seen it. You might have heard about it. You might have heard a clip. I want to play the whole thing for you because it's great and encapsulates pretty well why I'm supporting this guy for president. So here we go, Rand Paul, if you please.
It's exceptional because we're founded upon the notion that anyone, in fact everyone, should be free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. You know, for the first time in history, men and women were guaranteed in America a chance to succeed based not on who your parents were, but on your own initiative and your desire to work. We're in danger, though, of forgetting what made us great. The president seems to think the country can continue to borrow $50,000 every second. The president believes that if we can just squeeze more money out of those who are working, I don't think it'll work. The path we are on is not sustainable, but few in Congress or in this administration seem to recognize that their actions are endangering the prosperity of this great nation. Ronald Reagan said, "Government is not the answer to the problem. Government is the problem." Tonight, the president told the nation he disagrees. President Obama believes the government is the solution. More government, more taxes, more debt. What the president fails to grasp is that the American system that rewards hard work is what made America so prosperous. What America needs is not Robin Hood, but Adam Smith. In the year we won our independence, Adam Smith described what creates the wealth of nations. He described a limited government that largely did not interfere with individuals and their pursuit of happiness. All that we are, all that we wish to be, is now threatened by the notion that you can have something for nothing, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can spend $1 trillion every year that you don't have. I was elected to the Senate in 2010 by people who were worried about their country, worried about their kids, and worried about their future. I thought I knew how bad it was until I got here. It's worse than I could have ever imagined. Congress is debating the wrong things. Every debate in Washington is about how much to increase spending, a little or a lot. How much to increase taxes, a little or a lot. The president does this big, oh, woe is me, over the $1.2 trillion sequester cuts in spending that he endorsed and he signed into law. Some Republicans are now joining him. Few people understand that the sequester doesn't even cut any spending. It just slows the rate of growth. Even with the sequester, if it goes through, government will grow over $7 trillion over the next decade. Only in Washington could an increase in $7 trillion in spending over a decade be called a cut. So what is the president's answer? Over the past 4 years, he has added over $6 trillion in new debt and may well do the same in a second term. What solutions does he offer? He takes entitlement reform off the table and seeks to squeeze more money out of the private sector. He says he wants a balanced approach. What the country really needs is a balanced budget. Washington acts in a way that your family never could. They spend money they don't have. They borrow from future generations. And then they blame each other for never fixing the problem. Tonight I urge you to demand a new course. Demand Washington change their ways or be sent home. To begin with, we absolutely must pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. The amendment must include strict tax and spending limitations. Liberals complain that the budget can't be balanced, but if you cut just one penny from each dollar we currently spend, the budget would balance within 6 or 7 years. The penny plan has been crafted into a bill that millions of conservatives across the country support. It is often said there's not enough bipartisanship up here. That's not true. In fact, there's plenty of bipartisanship. Both parties have been guilty of spending too much, of protecting their sacred cows, of backroom deals in which everyone up here wins, but every taxpayer loses. It's time for a new bipartisan consensus. It's time Democrats admit that not every dollar spent on domestic programs is sacred, and it's time Republicans, myself included, realize that military spending is not immune to waste and fraud. Where would we cut spending? Well, let's start with ending all foreign aid to countries that are burning our flag and chanting death to America. In addition, the president could begin by stopping selling or giving F-16s and Abrams tanks to Islamic radicals in Egypt. Not only should the sequester stand, many pundits say the sequester's far short, that we need $4 trillion in cuts. If you were to freeze spending, it would actually be called $9 trillion in Washington. If we don't, we're in danger of having our credit rating downgraded. Now, both parties will have to agree to cut. We have to work together, or we'll never fix our fiscal mess. Bipartisanship is not what is missing in Washington. Common sense is. Trillion-dollar deficits hurt us all. Printing more money just feeds the never-ending appetite for spending, and it hurts us all. We pay higher prices every time we go to the supermarket or the gas pump. The value of the dollar shrinks with each new day. Contrary to what the president claims, big government and debt are not a friend to the poor and the elderly. Big government debt keeps the poor poor and saps the savings of the elderly. This massive expansion of debt destroys savings and steals the value of your wages. Big government makes it more expensive to put food on the table. Big government's not your friend. The president offers you free stuff, but his policies keep you poor. Under President Obama, the ranks of America's poor have swelled to almost 1 in 6 people. We are now at an all-time high in long-term unemployment. Millions of Americans are struggling and out of work. The cycle must be broken. The willpower to do this will not come from Congress. I've seen how they act. It must come from the American people. Next month, I'll propose a 5-year balanced budget. A budget that last year was endorsed by taxpayer groups across the country for its boldness and for actually solving the problem. I will work with anyone on either side of the aisle who wants to cut spending. But in recent years, there's been nobody to work with. The president's passed massive tax hikes and spending increases. And you know how many people he gets to vote for his budget? Zero. Nobody voted for his budget. Not a single Democrat voted for the president's budget. How's that for leadership? But at least he tried. Senate Democrats have not even produced a budget in the entire time that I've been in office. It's just shameful. It's a display of incompetence that illustrates their lack of seriousness. This year, they say they'll have a budget, but after just raising taxes by hundreds of billions of dollars, they now say that their budget's going to include more tax hikes. The president tonight said he wants to squeeze more money out of folks. We must stand firm. We must say no to any more tax hikes. Only through lower taxes, less regulation, and more freedom will the economy begin to grow again. Our party is the party of growth, jobs, and prosperity, and we will boldly lead on these issues. Under the Obama economy, 12 million people are out of work. During the president's first term, 800,000 construction workers lost their jobs, and another 800,000 simply gave up looking for work. With my five-year budget, millions of jobs would be created by cutting the corporate tax, cutting the corporate income tax in half, by creating a flat personal income tax of 17%, and by cutting the regulations that are strangling American businesses. The only stimulus ever proven to work is leaving more money in the hands of those who earned it. For those who are struggling, we want you to have something infinitely more valuable than a free phone. We want you to have a job and a pathway to success. We're the party that embraces hard work and ingenuity. Therefore, we must be the party that embraces the immigrant who wants to come to America for a better future. We must be the party who sees immigrants as assets, not liabilities. We must be the party that says, if you want to work, if you want to be an American, we welcome you. For those striving to climb the ladder of success, we must fix our schools. America's educational system is leaving behind anyone who starts with disadvantages. We've cut classroom sizes in half, we've tripled spending on education, and still we lag behind much of the world. A great education needs to be available for everyone, whether you live on Country Club Lane or in government housing. This will only happen when we allow school choice for everyone, rich or poor, white, brown, or black, everyone. Let the taxes you pay for education follow each and every student to the school of their choice. Competition has made America the richest nation in history. Competition can make our educational system the envy of the world. The status quo traps poor kids in a crumbling system of hopelessness. When every child can, like the president's kids, go to the school of their choice, then the dreams of our children will come true. Washington could also use a good dose of transparency, which is why we should fight back against middle-of-the-night deals that end with massive bills that no one has read. We must continue to fight for legislation that forces Congress to read the bills. For goodness sakes, at least read the bills. We must continue to object when Congress sticks special interest riders on bills in the middle of the night. And if Congress refuses to obey its own rules, if Congress refuses to pass a budget, if Congress refuses to read the bills, then I say, sweep the place clean, limit their terms, and send them home. I've seen the inner sanctum of Congress, and believe me, there is no monopoly on knowledge there. If they won't listen, if they will not balance the budget, then we should limit their terms. We're the party that adheres to the Constitution, and so we won't let the liberals tread on the Second Amendment. We will fight to defend the entire Bill of Rights, from the right to trial by jury to the right to be free from unlawful searches. We will stand up against excessive government power wherever we see it. We cannot and will not allow any president to act as if he were a king. We will not let any president use executive orders to impinge on the Second Amendment. We won't tolerate secret lists of American citizens who can be killed without a trial. Montesquieu wrote that there can be no liberty when the executive branch and the legislative branch are combined. separation of powers is a bedrock principle of our Constitution. We took the president to court over his unconstitutional recess appointments and won. If necessary, we will take him to court again if he attempts to legislate by executive order. Congress must reassert its authority as the protector of these rights, stand up for them, no matter which party is in power. Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, I will oppose abuses of power by the executive. Congress must stand as a check to the power of the executive, and it must stand, as it was intended, as the voice of the people. The people are crying out for change. They're asking for us to hear their voices, to fix our broken system, to work together, to right our economy, and to restore their liberty. Let us tonight let them know that we hear their voices, that we can and must work together, that we can and must rechart our course towards a better future. America has much greatness left in her. We will begin to thrive again when we begin to believe in ourselves again, when we regain our respect for our founding documents, when we balance our budget, when we understand that capitalism and free markets and free individuals are what creates our nation's prosperity. Thank you, and God bless America.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You must be
your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Welcome back. I am here, 9:33, and this is Things Not Seen. I appreciate you listening. Please give me a call, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the phone number, or just come on in, conservativenationradio.org, and click Listen Live, and there's a chat room here if you want to participate that way. That is cool. See, we got some folks in there now, so that's awesome. Hope you're enjoying it. Just heard Rand Paul. And my take on the State of the Union, that is over with. I'm sick of talking about it. Alrighty. Fascism alert. Alright, we've got, it's on the move, so be careful. Basically, we've got actual legislation being crafted, and according to my count, Minnesota, Missouri, New York, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey. At least those states. Those I know for a fact. This is beyond taking scary assault weapons away or limiting your magazine and all that stuff. And let me read it to you. Breaking news, Minnesota Democrats introduce law to confiscate guns. Gun owners, 6 months to turn in weapons. As the headline says, this is an organized national effort not a coincidence, a concerted effort. Missouri Democrats are pushing a bill to confiscate guns, giving owners 90 days to turn in their weapons. Minnesota Democrats are pushing the same bill. It's not even different language. It's a carbon copy. I mean, it's that obvious. Here's the language. Any person who, prior to the effective date of this law, was legally in possession of an assault weapon or large capacity magazine shall have 90 days from such effective date to do any of the following without being subject to prosecution. 1. Remove the assault weapon or magazine from the state of Missouri, or insert state here. 2. Render the assault weapon permanently inoperable. Or 3. Surrender the assault weapon or magazine to the appropriate law enforcement agency for destruction, subject to specific agency regulations. The unlawful manufacture, import, possession, purchase, sale, or transfer of an assault weapon or large capacity magazine is a Class C felony. And that was the Missouri language. And then the Minnesota one, just instead of saying 90 days, it gives dates. So any person who, on February 1st, 2013, legally owns or is in possession of an assault weapon has until September 1st, 2013, to do any of the following without being subject to prosecution. Remove the weapon from the state. Surrender the weapon to law enforcement for destruction. Render the weapon permanently inoperable. They have one other one. If eligible, register the weapon as provided in Minnesota statutes, yada, 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 yada. So whatever that means, if eligible, register the weapon. I don't know too many people who are going to be doing that either. So this is real. And you got some great comments on the story here that I read to you. It's not good. It's not good. And, you know, you couple this with actual events of people being broken into in their homes, and they don't have weapons to fight back, and now they're dead. They're dead. Trying to protect their kids, and now they're gone. Again, not something that we're making up. It's not paranoia. And, you know, don't believe anyone who says that this, you know, oh, it's just about these particular weapons and these particular magazines. And that's it. And if you already have one, you're fine. Oh, yeah? I don't think so. Got to be careful. Number two, not exactly the same thing, but still on the, along the same lines of creeping socialism and fascism. Internet sales tax is coming. It's coming. Thought we did away with this, but what do you know? It's back, and because, well, congressmen in both parties are ready to do it. Number two, Amazon, now joining Walmart, two giant companies, in supporting online sales tax. Now, this can go to any area you want. Retail sales is what they're talking about, but there's no reason why this couldn't apply to any commerce on the internet at all, for anything. You know, if you have a website and you sell ads on your website, tax it. Heck, you buy the website, you know, you pay a host, a web host, tax it. You buy the domain name, tax it. There's no limit, right? There's really no limit. So it's not good that giant companies are getting on board here. As it exists now, you can only charge sales tax on an order on the internet if that company that you're buying from has a physical presence in your state. And unless you're in a state like Delaware, which has no sales tax, you should never be charged sales tax, period. But anyway, the people are trying to change this. And the big companies are, which is so – it's a betrayal, you know, because now they're figuring, oh, we can actually – you know, they're saying in here in this article that their business model has changed, where the Amazon, for instance, will have shipping hubs in many, many different states now, not just one or two like they used to have. Great service, by the way. I use Amazon a lot, and I always get things super fast. Great experiences with them. Love them. But part of the reason why the service is so good is because you have – you know, a local hub a couple miles from my house or, you know, 50 miles away, you can get to a lot of places. Anyways, so it's happening. It's happening. And the more lobbyists lash onto this, you know, Republicans, Democrats are united in this. You've got bipartisan lobbying going on for this. It's called the, let's see, Marketplace Fairness Act. Yeah. Yeah. And again, these are the this lobbying that's going on. You know, retailers use the same lobbyists. So eventually they're going to come around to agree. Kmart, Costco, Home Depot, Sam's Club, Target, IKEA. They'll all cave in at some point. So, you know, watch out. I guess buy it while you can, and more in the coffers of the unquenchable thirst of the beast known as the federal government. Must have more. So that's not a good thing. And by the way, phone number 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And let me go to the phones right now, actually. Go to the phones right now and see who's on the line with us. I believe this is my friend from Texas. Welcome to Things Not Seen, my friend.
How you doing, Brother Christopher? This is Michael.
Michael Smith, how are you, sir? How are you? I see you're on leave from your Soldiers of Patriotism tour. You've taken about a minute of your day. I appreciate that very much.
Well, I appreciate it. Sounding good, what I heard. Yeah, the federal government is a beast, is a hydra-headed monster, as I refer to it, and it's got its fangs of the political python wrapped around us tightly. So we got to keep up the fight, and you're doing a great job. I appreciate everything you're doing for your show and for Conservative Nation Radio. I just wanted to touch base and let everybody know, let your callers know, they're welcome to join us on Uncle Bing and myself on Sundays, 3 to 5 Central Standard Time, right here on the Conservative Nation Radio. This Sunday, we're going to have, at the top of the hour, around 3:05 or so, I'm going to have on a state director for multiple sclerosis. We're going to kind of sidestep politics for 15 minutes or so. I've been affected by that in my family, not me personally, but my little sister has multiple sclerosis and was recently medically retired from the Air Force because of it. And that's something that I'm active in. So I'm going to have someone on to talk to us about that. And then at 4:00, we're going to have my buddy from Boston, man that I've been with for a couple of years, kind of mentored me. His name is John LaRosa. He'll be on talking to us about CPAC 13.
Cool.
And then, you know, we'll do our normal show that Bing and I normally always do, which is just a fun-filled 2 hours. Little interesting tidbit this morning. I was driving in, Christopher, to work, and my morning show guy that I listen to here in the DFW Metroplex, fellow by the name of Mark Davis, y'all, if you listen to Rush in the past, he used to fill in for him from time to time. He fills in now every Friday for Bill Bennett.
Yep.
A guy called in, a guy by the name of Gary Sweeney. And he didn't get much. Mark was at the bottom of the hour and was up against a hard break. something you and I are familiar with. But anyway, this man was calling to let people know about a project he's involved in with an artist out of Sarasota, Florida, by the name of Gary Marum. And if y'all will just, if your listeners will Google Gary Marum, I'm sorry, I don't have the website it's on me. It's M-A-R-R-A.
I'll actually talk about that later on.
They will. I beg your pardon?
I'm actually going to talk about that later on. We have a little blurb about it. No problem.
Awesome. Well, Conservative Nation Radio is going to be partnering with American Patriots in Art, and we're going to start doing what we can do to help this artist raise money. He has made a beautiful, beautiful life-size statue of Chris Kyle. And you got to see your listeners need to see the images. It's in the clay stage now. They've got transport set up to get it to Texas, but then there's the cold wax process, and then from there the bronzing. So he's got to find a bronze foundry here in Texas. And so anyway, we'll be getting more out on that. Go ahead and tell everybody about that if you would. And that's what's going on. Check us out at conservativenationradio.org, and we're doing great, man, and you're doing great, and I appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, fantastic, sir. I appreciate you very much. Keep listening, and we'll definitely be tuning in on Sunday. And like I say, I'll be talking about that statue actually a little later on in the show here. And I'm just going to talk about this company called Trad Am. So I will speak with you later, my friend.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you later.
See you later, Michael.
Bye.
Michael Smith, everyone. Yeah, let me talk to you about this Trad Am thing. The leftist media, of course, would like conservatives like me and you to think we're just a few lonely voices here in the wilderness. But do not be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals 2-1, according to most polls, even by liberals. So if you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It is traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call it. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars. This is so important, without turf wars. You know what that is about. This is none of it. Find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. Trad Am, as always, is a liberal-free website. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host,
Manti.
Indeed, welcome back. 718-305-7176. Phone number, 718-305-7176. I am Manti, your host of Things Not Seen. Things Not Seen can be heard on your radio waves, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night. I'm your Friday partner or roommate or confidant. Whatever you want to refer to me as, fine with me. I don't care. Just stay tuned and give me a call, listen in, or if you're listening after the fact, podcast, recording message, no problem. Love you too. Yeah, just friend, that'll work. Thank you for joining us and pop in the chat room, make a
wise comment or two, no problem. See, we've got folks doing that. That's awesome. Thank you. Again, I'll be here till 11 right now. It's 49 after the hour already. We got so many cool things coming up. I've got to – I can't believe this is happening. Thank God I don't live in New York City. I grew up in the suburbs of New York City. And there's this – now you might have heard of Michael Bloomberg. He's at it again. First of all, let's take a little trip back in time with Bloomberg in the past. Okay. He was a Republican, and he was endorsed by Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, at the time he was leaving office, most popular mayor in decades, most popular politicians in America, after September 11th, of course. He took over. He won because basically of Rudy's endorsement. As soon as he won, he said, "I'm an independent," and then started doing all this left-wing stuff. Smoking in public places, banned. Water in restaurants, you have to ask for it. They don't give it to you automatically. Calorie count on menus, mandated. No trans fats, mandated. Salt ban, failed. Thank God for taste. But he tried. Large sodas, as you all know, banned. Now this is the one that tells you he's a tyrant. He changed the law after his second term was coming to an end. You can only run for two terms as for mayor. He changed the law so he could run for a third term. He won, then changed it back so nobody else can do it. Very slick. I mean, that's your telltale sign, right, of a tyrannical person, never gives up power. Oh boy. Now, just fast forward to now. That was all in the past. This is just the first couple of terms here. Now, he's about to double the recycling effort of the city, which means probably double your cost if you live there. There would be charging stations in the middle of Manhattan for electric cars. You heard me. Electric cars. Yeah. Hear it, because there's so many of those around, especially in the middle of Manhattan, where, you know, who needs more parking or less traffic in Manhattan? That's crazy. Why would you want that? And now, this week, styrofoam will be banned because, and I quote, "We can live without it." That's nice. Thanks, Mr. Dictator Bloomberg. You're fantastic. Folks, this is the left at doing what they do, okay? It is. I don't care what he wants to call him, fancy himself some right down the middle centrist, no label, common sense bullcrap, okay? This is what left-wingers do. They don't care about you. They don't care that you make your own decisions in life, or you're about your own transportation, or about your food, or how large you want your drink, or what container you get it in, or where you, even though it's perfectly legal, where you can smoke. They think you're too stupid to figure out calories, or you'll automatically be fat if you don't let the government help you. Of course, serve as long as you want because you know better than everyone else. So, just a case study, all right? Case study, Tyrant Bloomberg. Watch out. It's coming. Might be coming to your town. And, of course, you know, this. Every time the election comes up, will he run? Hope not. Oh, by the way, he's a billionaire. So just watch out. The next hour, of course, we're going to talk about satanic doctrine of Christian pacifism. Again, please feel free to give me a call, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Be happy to talk to you. Or join us, conservativenationradio.org. Please go to the site, click on Listen Live. Boom, you're here. There's a chat room set up here also if you want to do that. Facebook.com/conservativenationradio and Facebook.com/thingsnotseenshow. Things Not Seen Show. We're on Twitter at CNR Show. And use hashtags while you're there. If you're tweeting, CNR Show and Things Not Seen. Hashtag Things Not Seen. Remember also TrinityMediaOnline.com. That's who brings you this studio, beautiful studio here. And I'm also on Twitter with Trinity at Trin Media. Trin Media. One word. Okay, so please do that. And again, in the second hour, we'll be talking about this very PC study that I have compiled. Also, the culture war. As you know, in this, the schools, but it's happening all over, and that's, you know, talked about politics a lot here in the first hour, but it's not where my concentration would be off the air. It's in the culture, and if we don't change some minds out here and tell people the truth and get into the strongholds of the left, the country is gone. And more than that, our tradition as a biblical nation is gone, and bad stuff happens after that. Okay, I'm not talking about end of the world stuff necessarily, but we know what happens when societies go downhill like this. I mean, it's the most basic equation. Even comes down to the abortion issue. If a parent can murder their child, society will fall apart. That's the most basic building block we have that separates us from the animals, or just crazy folks. And that's a biggie. And if that's not, you know, it's like slavery. How could you have a civilized country with it? It's ridiculous. It's an absurd notion. Absurd notion. So we have to end that, number one. And then there's another culture out there called Islam. And that's a whole show in and of itself. How most Muslims don't even understand that there are two holy books. There's two Qurans. I understand the Bible. We have different translations, okay. But there are two actually different Qurans. One written in Mecca, and one in Medina. And they're different. not just different translations of the same text. They're different texts. And basically, the point of all this is confusion is reigning, and yet they're either tied or even more numerous than Christians in the world now. If you're a Muslim, you're either tied for first or in first, as far as numbers who believe like you do. And I understand there are factions, okay, there are Shia and Sunnis. And even among them, there's, you know, the Wahhabis here and the mullahs of Iran over here. I understand there's some separation, as they would say, sectarian, okay, denominationalism and all that. We get that. But point is, they agree that there's the Islamic world and then there's the world at war, as they say. And it's at war because it's not Sharia compliant yet. And we're the head of that opposition, America. The West, as you would say, America's the head of that, the head of those tribes. So we play an important role and we need to win. We need to hold them back. All right, but again, this is getting to way, way different stuff. Culture war in the schools coming up. after the top of the hour. And then this giant expose that we'll go through, and really looking forward to that. Christian pacifism. It's got a lot of folks talking. You know, this comes on the heels of some comments last week. Anyway, we'll get into it. Now, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Hour one of Things Not Seen is over. I would surely appreciate you sticking around for a couple of minutes here after the break. We'll get right back into it here on Things Not Seen. I'm Christopher Mantai, your host. And we'll be back right after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Cool.
Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. A little warm up there, a little warm up. Welcome back. Mantis here with you till 11 o'clock, one more hour. And hopefully you'll be awake with me. I appreciate that. 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. This is the Things Not Seen Radio program, ConservativeNationRadio.org. Please visit us there. Please bookmark us. Tell your friends about us. We're on Facebook and Twitter and all a whole bunch of other social media platforms, but facebook.com/conservativenationradio. And also, Things Not Seen Show has its own Facebook page. Just go there and type it. And at Twitter, we are at CNR Show. And we have hashtags registered at CNR Show and Things Not Seen. Just put those in there, tweeting us out, okay? And we're giving some love to the Teacot Radio account as well. So thank you for that. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, Trinity Media Online. Thank you all for joining me. This is Manti here, like every Friday night, 9 to 11 Eastern. And we're about to get into one other thing about the education situation.
and about how our culture war is all over the place. There's no escaping it. So let's get into it here. Number one, the basic takeaway from this story is chanting USA, USA is racist against Hispanic kids. Oh, yeah. Let's crank it up. This is out in the Southwest. Where is this? Colorado? California. California. My apologies. Students told to stop USA chant and take off American flag bandanas. Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. It's very short. Four California high school students were reportedly suspended for chanting USA, USA and wearing American flag bandanas during a basketball game. The horror. So again, just to recap the horror, we have a basketball game and we have fans at that game from a high school chanting USA and wearing bandanas of America. I know. It's crazy, right? Story continues. Oxnard Union School District Superintendent Gabe Somakian said that we need to pursue this further. Oh, I'm sorry. Important. While their punishment has since been rescinded, so they were suspended, then they became unsuspended, school administrators say the incident is far from over. Yes, it's an incident, and it's far from over. Here it is. Oxnard Union School District Superintendent Gabe, what's his name, says we need to pursue this further and, quote, work with the teachers and the students in the community about the concept of, drumroll, cultural proficiency. So Mickian and Camarillo High School principal Glenn Littman felt that the students' actions might have had racist undertones since the schools have large Hispanic student populations. Okay, let's get this straight now. If you chant USA, you are identifying yourself as part of a race called the United Statesians. Did you know that there was one? Yeah. United Statesians. And they are opposed. The United Statesians are the arch enemies of the country known as Hispaniola, where the Hispanics come from. Yes. This is a giant war going on right now. You have to be sensitive to these two cult, this clash of cultures between the American United Statesians and the Hispaniolites. Because that's what it's got to mean, right? All right. He continues, we wanted to make sure that their actions weren't racially motivated. And I told the kids, I just want to be sensitive to the feelings of everybody. If we're going to do patriotism, if we're doing it for patriotism, that's fine. But if we're doing it for something else that's racially motivated, I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow it. I'm not. I just won't. I can't. Yeah, that was my impression. All right. But, story concludes, but the students deny any racial element to their chants. We've done it always, one student said. It's something we do. It's the same group of friends. We're all very patriotic. The four students gained support from their peers. More than 100 students gathered by the school's flagpole the following morning to protest in patriotic clothing. And if you go to nationalreview.com, there's actually a video of the horribly racist offending moment. So, okay, that's just stupid and ridiculous, right? Oh, yeah, it's just California. Who cares about that, right? Well, again, this is what we're dealing with here. Minnesota, I know we have some Minnesota fans in the audience. You may know about this. Minneapolis High School. There was a food fight that turned into an actual fight. Minneapolis South High School. It's so hilarious. I've just got to read it. A number of police – it's not hilarious. It's unreasonably stupid. A number of police cars responded to Minneapolis South High School after an alleged food fight escalated into a melee involving 200 to 300 students. The school posted a note on its website stating that it went on a precautionary code yellow lockdown due to a, quote, food fight that escalated into a physical fight. The school said Thursday night that classes are still scheduled for Friday. This just happened, by the way, yesterday. Sergeant William Palmer of the Minneapolis Police Department said no weapons were involved in the incident. However, four people were taken to a hospital following the melee. Those taken to the hospital were a school staff member who was hit in the head with a bottle, three students who suffered injuries unrelated to the fight. What? Excuse me? The school said it did not elaborate on what injured the three students. I'm sorry, I smell some BS. But that's just me. 12 people complained that they had been sprayed with mace. Police at the scene said they had to use a chemical agent to get the crowd under control as they were being pelted with objects as they tried to break things up. Yeah, just a normal food fight with high school kids. The main incident occurred during the school's third period lunch around 12:45 p.m. and lasted about 15 minutes. About 20 staff members responded to the incident, followed security procedures according to the school. Well, that worked out well. One student, Abdi Sheikh, said he saw hundreds of students fighting what appeared to be a racial incident, a big riot, he said. It was all types of races. Sheikh said about 20 police rushed into the school shortly after. Another student, Simone Glasker, said that the initial fight happened during the school's first lunch period. By the time the third lunch period started, all the hype from the initial fight caused tensions to boil over. She said the fights were over pride. I know it's a pride thing between Muslims and black people, she said. They want their pride back for something. I don't know. She also said boys were hitting girls and some people were lying on the floor, their heads over their heads in surrender. Here's the crux of this. The fight, students say, was the result of a long simmering tension between 8% of students who are Somali Americans and the 20% who are African Americans. Stop right there. What is this? Somali Americans? Okay. Maybe I can get that. They're transfer students or they're first generation Somalians and African. Wait. Somali Americans. That means you're from Somalia. And 20% who are African American. Somalia is in Africa. Somalia is in Africa. A. This means A. They're all African Americans. B. This is a code. Somali Americans. You noticed earlier in the story they said Muslims. Well, there you go. The Somali Americans, quote unquote, mean the Muslim students. They're from Somalia and they're Muslims. And which is opposed to the and they're black. Okay. which is opposed to the 20% who are also black, who are not Muslims, but they're African Americans. Are you confused yet? This is political correctness run crazy. Can't answer you. This is a giant problem. Okay? So just pay attention. Pay attention to this kind of stuff. You got to see through it. And that's that. So hope you had fun with that. Hey, are you all secret members of the Joe McCarthy Fan Club? Join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central for Radio Free America. That's right. Duke lists anti-communists among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a National Network news helicopter or anything else. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks, Radio Free America, Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Let's talk about Patriot Depot, folks. Let's assume you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. You're a conservative. Probably. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Now, since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers to patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here, conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner, Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution right now. Go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like $1 million. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Welcome back, Things Not Seen radio program. 18 after the hour, 10:18. With you till 11 o'clock. Jeez. Deep in the second hour here of Things Not Seen for the week. By the way, it's February 15th already. 2013. I hope you all had a good Valentine's Day. Productive and all that. Reproductive, whatever. And I hope you have many more. And chocolate. A lot of that. I hope you have, if you had some good presents like I did, that'd be awesome. And please stay with me, 718-305-7176. The phone number to join me, 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Go to conservativenationradio.org, listen live, get on my show or anybody else's. Phone number is the same for everyone. So please participate. We would love to have you. And again, we're here till 11 o'clock. Tonight. So, the moment you've all been waiting for has arrived. This is something that was done by yours truly a while ago, a couple years ago, and it's about Christian pacifism. I would not want to
divide my fellow believers or hurt them or injure them in any way. It's not my intention. Only that when you see a false doctrine catching on, you really have to put it out. And that's my thought on that. And of course, I depend on common sense in the Bible to do that. So I thought it was appropriate now because there was an incident, of course, last week. Chris Kyle was murdered, our hero of our nation, our best snipers in our history. Maybe the best, who knows? And someone came out and basically used the Bible to say that he deserved it. Not quite sure what the point of it was, but not nice and stupid. And to use God's word to back him up is was annoying. So I thought I'd set the record straight. Let us go into this and flesh it out, okay? I think Christian pacifism is a false doctrine from Satan himself. So let us go to church. All right, let us do this, okay? Here is my thoughts. There are those who claim to be Christian pacifists. I'm writing this with an unction from the Holy Spirit to document that pacifism, quote unquote, has nothing to do with Christ or being a Christian. It is one of Satan's many attempts to pervert the truth of God's word. As we know, Satan loves to use scripture and give a slight twist so it sounds like the truth when it is, in fact, a lie. There are countless examples of this in Christianity today, most notably the quote-unquote rapture doctrine. As a former believer in both the pacifism and rapture doctrines, I have an intimate knowledge of the devil's trickery on these subjects. For instance, with the rapture deception, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is quoted to justify the false doctrine. Of course, all one has to do is read Ezekiel 13:20. To realize Paul is referring to something else entirely. Deeper study leads to approval from our Father. That's true in everything. What about the giant deception of Eve eating an apple in Genesis 3? Other than it not mentioning an apple anywhere in that verse, a simple reading of 2 Corinthians 11 shows us there is satanic trickery at work if you believe that Eve actually ate an apple. We can get into that at some point, too. She didn't eat any fruit at all. The same applies to this anti-war mentality among some Christians. They honestly believe that the Lord does not endorse war, or even worse, that he himself taught against it, and that no Christian should participate in it or endorse it. They, too, are deceived. The scriptural backbone, quote-unquote, to their belief is the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, specifically verse 39. However, the subject of that verse can be found in verse 17, where Jesus says plainly that he is not come to destroy the law or the prophets, in other words, the Old Testament, but rather to fulfill it. All you have to do is look at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, to see where Satan is twisting the truth. Here's what Ecclesiastes says. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Ecclesiastes, written to the flesh man who walks under the sun,
That's what, when you see all the time walking under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, that's the flesh man. That's us here on this earth. It says there is a time for war. That is right. Fleshly warfare is okay with God. Matthew 5 is quite simply not referring to fleshly things. Did Jesus intend for us to cut off our actual fleshly hand or pluck out our fleshly eyes? God forbid. Therefore, verse 39 is also not referring to fleshly warfare. Those who would use that verse to justify Christian pacifism or anti-war feelings are wrong. Worse, they are deceived by Satan and are spreading the lie to other Christians. This is unacceptable. It must be brought into the light. Now, another common justification for Christian pacifism is that the New Testament is a new time, that the rules have changed once Jesus came, that he somehow taught us something new. Not only is this incorrect, it is blasphemous. Read Hebrews 13:8-9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Quite simply, Jesus is the God of the Old Testament. He wrote that book just as he wrote the New Testament. To say that anything other than his becoming our Passover lamb has changed from the old to the new is just Satanism. Jesus, Yeshua, is the great I Am, Yahweh. He is our Father. He does not change. Jesus wrote Exodus 15:3. Jesus wrote Exodus 15:3 when he said, "The Lord is a man of war." The Lord is his name. Jesus spoke to David when he wrote Psalms 144. Blessed be the Lord of my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. But let's say, what happens with Jesus if he was struck in the face? His actions would have told us a lot about what we as Christians should do. Wait a minute, that did happen. Read John 18:22-23. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of that evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" What did our Lord do when struck in the face? He rebuked the attacker. He did not turn to him the other also, right? Turn the other cheek. He didn't turn the other cheek. He rebuked the attacker. Did Jesus forbid his followers from fighting in armies? Certainly he had the opportunity to address that in Matthew 8:5-13. But this happened. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Jesus heard it, and he marveled, and said to him that followed, "Verily, truthfully, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom of heaven shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, and thou, as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee." And his servant was healed in that same hour. Now, back to the point. Did the Lord tell this soldier to lay down his sword and retire from the military? Nope. He had nothing but praise for his faith. But that's not all. Other soldiers were encountered in the New Testament. And when we come back, we'll get right back to it. Again, I'm in the midst of the Christian pacifism being a satanic doctrine. I hope you're enjoying it so far. It is now 10:30, 30 minutes left on the Things Not Seen radio program. 718-305-7176. And we'll be back right after this.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the Times from out the action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never ever give up.
On sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host,
Manti.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Things Not Seen. Manti is here with you till 11 o'clock. About a half hour left. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 to talk to me. But right now we are in the... No, Christopher Manti is my full name, actually. Sorry, I'm diving into the chat room and reading comments. I should not be doing that. I apologize severely. So let's get into this rest of this study here, shall we? We got to go back to church. All right, let's do this. So, to summarize so far, we're talking about what does the Bible have to say about pacifism and fighting in war and soldiers and weapons, all good stuff. And I read a couple of examples already about Jesus never changing, about he wrote the Old Testament, and the Old Testament's clear about warfare, that there being a time for war, that God himself is a quote-unquote a man of war, that David in the Psalms praises God for teaching him how to go to war, to teach his hands how to fight. And then in the Gospels themselves, he rebuked his attacker. He didn't offer them the other cheek when he was physically attacked. When he was approached by a soldier, a centurion in the Roman army about healing his servant, Jesus did not tell him to quit the army. He did not tell him to lay down his sword and follow him in that way. He said, go thy way. Do what you're doing. Your faith healed your servant. That was it, right? He didn't tell him to retire from the military. Okay, so let's pick this up. Now, other soldiers were encountered in the New Testament also. So let's go to that. In Luke chapter 3, verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. This is John the Baptist talking to them, not Jesus. But did John the Baptist tell the soldiers to lay down their swords and retire from the military? No. In fact, the word do violence, Strong's Concordance number 1286, look it up yourself, is mistranslated in this verse. It should be translated as terrify with a view to extortion. In other words, intimidation, terrorism, you could say. Now, this is the only time in the Greek that this particular word is used, 1286. Violence or violent comes from several other words, but not this one, not even close. You can look it up yourself. Violent, violence, physical violence comes from words in the concordance. Now, these are concordance numbers. 970, 971, 973, 1411, 37, 31. They're all violence, physical violence. Those words are not close in meaning to 1286, which is what we see here. So the translation of do violence is not correct. In other words, John told the soldiers not to intimidate others, bring false accusations, or complain about their pay. Again, nothing at all about not going to war. There is nothing forbidding soldiers doing what soldiers do. Finally, there's the teaching that the apostles themselves were nonviolent, quote unquote, and pacifists. There are a lot of people who believe this. You might believe it. You might have been raised in a church where all you see is images or told about peaceful, bearded old men walking around with halos and never would kill a fly. Well, read Matthew 26, 51-54. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And Jesus said to him, put up again thy sword to his place, for all they take the sword out shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Now, this is actually part of the scripture that people will use. Oh, live by the sword, perish with the sword. All the apostles carried swords, the equivalent today of carrying a gun. Okay? So imagine the 12 apostles following Jesus around with guns. They're all armed, all of them. So, this, of course, is properly taught to be Peter who did this. Peter not only carried a sword or a gun today, but used it in defense of his Lord. And true to form, now listen, true to form, Peter did die a violent death years later. People would say he was crucified upside down. Not pretty. But notice how Jesus did not condemn the possession or use of the sword per se. He had already in the Old Testament established the guidelines about going to war. There was a time for it. In this instance, it was not the time for it, as the prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus had to be fulfilled. He's telling Peter, what are you doing? This has to happen. Cut it out. This is not the time to go to war. If I wasn't supposed to go right now, I'd have 12 legions of angels fighting. Very warlike, by the way. They have swords too. He didn't listen. He didn't understand what was happening. Okay. Now, in conclusion, there's also a strain of the Christian pacifist that says the state, the government of the nation you live in, even in Christian nations, especially the United States, is evil for waging war. I would suggest that they read Romans 13:1-6. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but from God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and that thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Holy smokes. Could it be any more plain? Don't they understand that Satan hates Israel? 1 Chronicles 21. Now, at every turn, he falsely accuses the head of Jacob, the United States, of being evil when we are, in fact, a revenger. The only ones who need to fear are the ones who do evil. Those infected with paranoia live in fear of the good. They're scared to fight. Father cannot use people like that. Those who are afraid to fight in spiritual or flesh bodies are of no use to him. Satan has deceived some Christian brothers and sisters into believing the doctrine of Christian pacifism, thereby using them to confuse his children. This is not okay. It's our duty to call them out and correct them with the word. So I've attempted to do that here. Bottom line, is war good? No. Is it sometimes a necessary part of our Father's plan? Yes. Should Christians who hold a biblically incorrect view of war be chastised? Yes. Those who continue to believe and perpetuate this lie, well, I pray for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. So, that is my study. Hope it did something for you. It did something for me while writing it and reading it. Good stuff. As we were talking about earlier on the phone with Michael, Chris Kyle was a hero, and there is a memorial statue being erected right now. All American patriots were heartbroken when we heard the news that former U.S. Navy SEAL and combat sniper Chris Kyle had been killed at a Texas rifle range earlier this month. Of course, the circumstances were tragic, but Chris's accomplishments in the defense of our nation are legendary. Since his memory must never be forgotten, sculptor Gregory Mara is now completing a life-size bronze sculpture to be placed in permanent memoriam to Chris in Texas. Please help American patriots with this fitting tribute to an American hero. Go to gregmarastudios.net. That's GREGMARRA studios.net. Make a generous donation or mail what you can to Gregory Mara Studios, 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. That's 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Bradenton, Florida, 34203. American patriots everywhere will thank you. I thank you for listening to that, and we'll be back right after this.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS4automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, indeed. Manti is back with you for the conclusion of the Things Not Seen radio program. If you care to get in here right at the end, it's 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176, 9 to 11 Eastern every Friday night. I so appreciate you being with me. I care deeply for you, honestly. Thank you for joining me. Or if you're listening after the fact, on a rebroadcast or a podcast or however you want to term it. Thank you so much also. For some reason, I don't know if it's the time of day or what, I look at the numbers, my ratings, so to speak, on recording after podcast are tremendous. They're through the roof. The best of the whole network. I love that. Not sure why, but that's okay. I will take it all day. So thank you for that. Please spread the word, share, and like, and just tell everyone about conservativenationradio.org, please. All our shows are there. You don't even have to know anything else. Just conservativenationradio.org. That's it. You could listen to everything right from there. So all these banners that we're talking about, all these companies we're talking about during the course of the show, phone number, everything's there. Okay? That's all you have to remember. So I'm with you till 11, as always. Thank you for joining me. And my name is Manti, first name Christopher. I do have two names. I actually have three names, but that's none of your business. And we have one more segment here, and then we're out. We're out like trout. I don't remember that one. My mind is failing. Out like, I don't know, make like a baby and head out. I remember that one. Okay, so one more segment here, then I'm really out. Well, I did a lot of serious stuff tonight. As usual, this is what gets me animated. Hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to contact me in the future about that. Actually, you can write me an email. I keep forgetting to tell people this. It's Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. Right? Right. Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. That'll send me an email. So cool. Do that, please. Thank you. Anything you want to clear it up or conversation, you know, or another. Maybe you want to get on the show. Maybe you have someone who you want to hear as a guest. Send me an email. Shoot it off. I will reply. Promise. All right? Please do that. All right. So I'm an Eagles fan. You know this. It's been a tough year. Real tough. It's been a tough life, actually, come to think of it. I've only been to one Super Bowl, and we blew it. So I don't know if we're ever getting back in my lifetime, but we had a real bad season this year, fired our coach. We re-signed. Well, didn't re-sign. We had Michael Vick should have been released. Whatever he did, he was causing too many turnovers the past 2 years, basically, but especially this past season. Nothing but a turnover machine. And he got hurt constantly. He's brittle.
fragile. He's not accurate enough. All these things. All right. Okay. You had your moment. Time to move on. Sever the relationship. Coach is gone. Quarterback gone. Everybody's new. Let's start over. Well, they redid his contract, so he'll be here for at least another year, which I don't understand it. I'm angry. I don't see the point. You know, he's got great physical gifts. He always did. He could. He's a tremendous runner, and his natural arm strength is really unparalleled. I mean, he's not even a big muscled up guy. He's just a wiry kind of dude, and he flicks his wrist and pow, he had a 70-yard bomb. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch. Anyways, I don't like that he's still here because you just got to turn the page, right? They have Nick Foles from last year. People are down on him. Some people are high on him. I'm mostly high. I think he's your more of a prototypical quarterback. He's you know, big dude. He doesn't get hurt when he gets hit hard. He gets up. And he's a very accurate passer. See what you got. All right? Or maybe you want to go with the new quarterback in the draft. Fine. Vic, I do not understand. I even understand this. They actually just yesterday signed Dennis Dixon, who was the new coach of the Eagles, who used to be the coach of Oregon. And while he was coaching at Oregon, Dennis Dixon was one of his quarterbacks, and he was so good, he almost won a Heisman Trophy. And he hasn't worked out in the NFL to this point. He's been injured a little bit, and nobody's really – he hasn't fit anyone else's system. He's with the Steelers. He's with the I guess he's on the Ravens practice squad this year or whatever. So the Eagles just signed him to a two-year deal. I get that, right? This is a guy you know. You succeeded with him in college. Give him a shot. Maybe he blossoms with you again. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he just holds a clipboard. Maybe he teaches the other quarterbacks how to play in your system. That's all good. That's all good. I get that. I get that. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. You still got a draft and free agency's coming up too. Who the hell knows? Right now you have four quarterbacks on the roster. So you just reworked Vic. You have Foles and you just signed Dixon. Also Trent Edwards. They'll cut him most likely. But unless you trade somebody, what are you going to do? You know, I don't think they'll be drafting anyone particularly high. If they keep all these guys going into the draft and they don't sign a free agent quarterback, which there's nobody out there really. So if they go into the draft with four quarterbacks, I don't see them drafting one before what? Fourth round, third round, the earliest. So anyone who's expecting a new rookie quarterback to lead the Eagles, I think it's going to writing's on the wall. Unless they end up trading Vic or Foles, then kind of all bets are off. They might go a different direction. But it hasn't happened, and I really don't expect it to. I don't think they're going to be dealing anyone. I think they'd be okay going into the season with those three guys. All right? All right, enough about that. Just had to get that off my chest. I'm sorry. I was pissed off. They shouldn't have been back with the team. Time is up. Time is over. Cut the cord. NFL nerds like myself realize that life never ends for your team. There is a scouting combine next week. By the time I'm back on the air, combine will be in full swing with basically, if you don't know what this is, it's all the top college players that are eligible to be drafted in April. Over 300 of them will be in shorts and t-shirts in one place I think it's still in Indianapolis. All the league officers are there. I mean, like every team sends scouting people, their coach, their general manager, most of the owners, everybody, the agents, everyone's there. And they watch these guys basically see what they are physically. They lift weights, they run, they do drills. They measure them, how tall they are, how far they can jump, how high they can jump, how they run a 40-yard dash, and it gets to the thousandth of a second. People care. If you run a 4.38 or a 4.30 or a 4.50, those are huge differences, right? 4.5 seconds is an average speed in the NFL for a 40-yard dash. Five seconds, you're slow as molasses, even though that's faster than 95% of the world can run 40-yard dash. These are cream of the crop professional athletes. So you got to see, you know, you say, well, I like this player. He had a great career in college, but maybe he was at a small school. Maybe he didn't play any real, you know, a top competition. Maybe his statistics are great, but what is he really? You know, I don't want to pick the guy high if he's going to be a bust and he's a nobody because he wasn't used to playing against superior, you know, competition. I don't want him. So they have this combine to measure everyone up, and it kind of equalizes some things. Doesn't always. It's definitely not a predictor. It doesn't guarantee anything whatsoever. But they also, I forgot to mention, they give them a mental test. They give them an exam called the Wunderlich, and they all get a score. It's like a multiple choice test. And the higher you score, the more impressive you are to people. And they interview you. It's like a giant job interview, basically, in a gym session, right? They measure you. Anyway, if you want to watch this stuff, it's on NFL Network next week. And to nerds, to geeks, it's great fun. I love it. I love it. I have like, this is my hobby. Okay, folks, don't criticize me. Everybody needs a hobby. Us following pro football is my thing, and college football. And so these guys coming in, I have my own, you know, list of prospects and see who's who and what's what. And I watch college, so I know players who I think are good, but then that doesn't always work out that way. Maybe they're not so good. Maybe I've overrated them. Maybe I'm biased against them because I don't like the team that they're on, or I'm a Michigan fan. So if they went to Ohio State or Notre Dame, Michigan State, you know, something like that, maybe I'm underrating them because I'm rooting against them. Usually not. I usually, if a guy kicks my butt against my, you know, kicks my team's rear for a couple of years, I know he's good. So that's a nice little advantage, you know. Not saying I should be a scout or anything like that, but it's cool. Anyway, you go through the names and you see who's running and who's doing what and who's – that's fun. A lot of people make, you know, by the faster they run or the drills that they have or the weights that they're lifting can literally make or lose millions at this combine. Millions of dollars will be lost and made. People moving up and down teams' charts, draft charts. Because if you're picked in the first round and the high part of the first round, you are going to make millions and millions of dollars, guaranteed, guaranteed. If you're a second round pick, you make far less. If you third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're not guaranteed anything. They'll sign you to a contract, but you won't get hardly anything back. If you can get cut that year, you know, you go to training camp that summer and then September rolls around, time for the games, and you're cut. You're done. You might not have a career. Anyways, that's the end of that. I really appreciate you folks listening, and I'll be back next week at 9 p.m. for Things Not Seen, conservativenationradio.org. And remember that you always have the choice of who to serve. Hope you make the right one, and we'll see you next time, okay? God bless you, and take care. Now,